is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Bus for Belhaven leaves in 10 minutes. Get your tickets now. No tickets sold on the bus. You want a ticket, sir?
No, thank you. I'm not taking the bus.
Well, then will you move out of this line?
Why, certainly.
Oh, is the bus leaving?
Oh, you got 10 minutes, miss. Get your ticket.
Oh, I've got mine, thank you.
Good afternoon, Kate.
Stephen, what are you doing here?
Oh, my dear, that's hardly a welcome.
Are you taking this bus?
No, no, but I heard that your early bus wasn't running, that you had a long wait here in North Falls. I drove in to be sure you were all right.
That was very thoughtful of you, Stephen, but not necessary.
I thought it might be. You have a few minutes. Shall we move out of the hearing of these people?
What for?
I thought we should have a little chat before you left.
We have nothing to chat about. What's this about, Stephen?
You have a short memory, my dear. You've had a 4-hour wait here in North Falls, haven't you?
Yes, but I managed to pass the time.
I'm glad to hear it. The ticket agent remembered you. He said you'd ask directions to the newspaper office, the North Falls Star.
Yes.
You made a mistake going behind my back.
Stephen, are you trying to intimidate me?
I'm trying to make you understand your situation. You went to the newspaper to find out what your late husband had done.
And I found out.
I told you.
Yes, you told me. Tom was under the influence of drugs when his car killed that girl. But, you know, you didn't tell me what you did. You just said you helped him. Stephen, you bribed everybody in town to get him off, didn't you?
The end justified the means.
It also put Tom in your debt for the rest of his life.
A debt he failed to pay. That's why I've come to you. Now, Kate, it's a very simple thing for you to find that document that he promised me.
And if I don't?
You'll find it. And more than that, you'll keep this between ourselves.
Stephen, I'm not afraid of you.
You should be. Your late husband was involved in drug smuggling, and it could easily be proved that you were with him. Better get on your bus, Kate. I'll talk to you when we get back to the city. It's the Studio Club, isn't it?
There's no need to call me.
There's every need, Kate. I can't wait too long.
Show your tickets before you board.
Why?
Kate. Alice Kingman.
Well, you taken this bus, too?
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
Well, I saw you. You were so busy talking to that gentleman, I didn't want to barge in.
Oh, Alice, I wish you had.
Come on. He's a seat for two.
Oh, great. Oh, listen, how is the youth center going?
Oh, still vibrating those walls. Kids are going to be kids. There's no place that's going to hold them long. God bless them.
Do you come up here to North Falls often?
Whenever I can. My sister lives up here.
I didn't even know you had a sister.
Well, she used to live in Belhaven. Then she moved up to North Falls after her boy got sick.
So you have a little nephew.
Well, he's not so little. He's 20 now.
I never would have guessed it.
He has brain damage. I go up when I can.
How terrible. I'm sorry.
Well, it happens sometimes.
From birth?
No. He was a great kid, but he got into the hard stuff. You know what that is, honey.
Yes.
Oh, heaven knows where they get it, these fine young people. But if I was running things, I wouldn't blame the youngsters. But anybody who pushed it at them, I'd take them out and shoot them. I always feel this way coming home. Tell me about yourself, Kate. How's the job in the city?
Fine.
You know, you look a little pale, as if you've been working too hard.
Hello? Oh, Henry, I... No, Kate hasn't gotten in yet. I'll call you as soon as she does. I know you want to see her. I'll tell her it's important. All right. I won't tell her it's important. I'll just tell her you're lonesome. That'd bring any girl. Don't worry. David's here, and he said he'd meet the bus. Hmm. Goodbye, dear. Oh, David, when Henry gets something on his mind.
I work for the guy. All bull terrier. Mm.
Kate's going to be late. She's probably exhausted from her weekend. Oh, I'll be so glad to have her home. But none of that makes any difference. Henry must see her as soon as she gets here.
I know why, and so do you.
Yeah, he's got a thing about Stephen Wolfe.
Wolfe has been seen around here.
Now, what can he do, really? He knew Tom. Tom's dead. It's all past. Kate'll be kind to him, and he'll fade away. There's nothing Kate can do for him.
Well, you tell Henry that, Isabel.
Oh, I'm staying out of it.
If everybody did that, how sweet it would be.
And dull. Oh, David, I'm so happy to be back. I've got such plans to liven up this old house. That's why I'm dying to see Kate.
You may find her a little changed.
Oh, I expect to.
She's not Belhaven anymore.
Oh, come on. Kate'll always have one foot in Belhaven. She's simply spreading her wings.
Yeah, nice trick if you can do it.
You're still interested, aren't you, David?
I'm a newspaper man, Isabel. I know when the story's written out.
And that's why you offered to go to the bus to meet her?
I'll meet anybody. I moonlight on the taxi shift.
David, do you ever let your guard down?
I'm an open book.
That nobody can read. Everybody loves you. You're the most eligible man in Belhaven. But you'll never let anyone get beneath the surface.
You mean to the real me?
Were you ever really in love?
Constantly. Women pursue me for my masculine appeal.
That's not the same thing.
I'm even the hero of the blue jean and hot pants set.
You always were. But if you mean Nancy, don't fool yourself. She's no silly kid.
She's pure cobra. Any other questions?
Were you ever married?
Now you are off limits. Do I look married?
I'd like to think you had a marvelously wicked past.
The town couldn't stand two of us, Isabel.
Oh, if I were only 30.
Watch it. I scare easy.
Someday, some young, beautiful thing is going to get through that bluff of yours, David.
Yep. But right now, I've got to go meet a bus.
Uh-huh, and it's pouring.
Don't worry, I'll bring Kate back.
David, I've had the most wonderful idea. I want to have a big Thanksgiving dinner here at Wakefield House. The first one in years. Will you come?
By golly, yes, I will. I'll see you, Isabel.
Hello, David.
Alice Kingman. Well, two birds at one throw. Did you get off this bus?
Yes, I did.
I'm waiting for Kate.
Well, she was on it.
Yeah, I don't see her.
David, I guess she didn't know you were going to meet her.
Well, did she take a cab?
No, she didn't get off the bus.
What?
We rode down together. At the last minute, she told me she changed her mind. And we'll go right on down to the city.
Well, it's not like Kate. Isabel's expecting her.
Well... she didn't act like the Kate we know, David.
How do you mean?
She acted like something's worrying her. She looked tired.
Alice, I'll drive you home. You can tell me about it.
Well, that's all I know, David. When I asked her, she shut up like a clam. I think that girl better come back to Belhaven, where she belongs.
I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clear All commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clear All cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clear All cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clear All to know you're the best you can be.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Ladies and gentlemen, good day. William Makepeace Thackeray here. Now, as author of this novel, I have small liking and smaller patience for obstacles which impede its progress. Oh, how simple, how serene could I but place Miss Crawley and Becky Sharp in a carriage and speed them to London. And that, my trusting listeners, is a lie. The truth is, I thoroughly enjoy impediments. Oh, how boring a book if all went swimmingly. What impediment, then, today? Giles. That dear, good soul an impediment? Oh, yes. As Becky approaches Miss Crawley's quarters with that lady's early tea, she meets Giles just outside the antechamber.
Miss Becky, I'd ought to have fetched her tea. Sorry I wasn't about.
Oh, Miss Crawley woke so early, not even light. Have you been inside?
Oh, yes, ma'am. She sent me to look for you.
What else did she say?
Said she feels a bit better.
Naught else, that's all.
Oh, complained of this, that, and t'other.
Nothing about me.
Oh, what is it, Miss Becky? Is it you've quarreled?
Oh, no, no, no. There's wonderful news. I've only just heard it from Sir Pitt. She departs for London this very morning and takes me with her.
Ah, so soon it's come. Mr. Rawdon only yesterday gone.
But why didn't she tell you of it?
Oh, it don't mean nothing she didn't tell me.
Oh, it does, it does. One of two things, both dreadful. Either it isn't true, she only said it to Sir Pitt to torment him, or, oh, I'm so afraid it means she won't take you as well.
Oh.
I will not go without you.
Miss Becky.
I promised you, and I will keep my promise.
Oh, well, 'twas a dear, kind promise, but not one for keeping, miss. You, Mr. Rawdon, now. You gave him a promise, too, and that one is for keeping.
I will not go without you.
You truly stay for me?
Yes.
Oh, Miss Becky, no one in all my life was so good to me. But I'll not let you give up all for me. I'll leave service before I let you.
Oh, but don't you see? No one was ever so good to me as you. Oh, what are we to do?
But we don't know she ain't to take the both of us. It may be we're all in tears for naught. Now, what you're to do is go inside and find out, ain't it, miss?
Oh, what a goose I am. Weep before I'm wounded. All right, in I go. Wait. Should you go in with me, do you think?
Oh, no, ma'am, I don't think. By your loan, be best.
What if she says nothing about anything?
Then 'twas only a cruel leg pull for Sir Pitt.
Oh, Sir Pitt in tears, too. He couldn't say no to Miss Crawley about me. Oh, what, I've not told you. The music box Mr. Rawdon sent me was what made her decide to go, not her illness at all.
Ah.
She wants me to see my love, my Gordy.
Oh, well, pray she don't find out your love is Mr. Rawdon, not Mr. Gordy and him made up.
La, how could she find out?
Oh, lies have a way, miss. Have you not took notice? They come home to roost something terrible. Now, will you go in now?
Oh, I'm putting it off, and her tea getting cold. Oh, Giles, I'm excited and fearful both at once. I think of seeing Mr. Rawdon and then think of not seeing you. Oh, what will happen?
Go, Miss Becky, go.
hours so long, Miss Crowley.
Do pour my tea and hope I can retain it.
Oh, you're greatly better. I'm sure you can.
I played the dear little music box while you were gone. What is your young man's name, dear? I keep forgetting.
Gordy, your tea.
Gordy, yes. This tea is cold.
Oh, dear. So many long corridors to walk from the kitchen here. Shall I send Giles for more? She's just outside.
No. I'll do it this.
Miss Crawley, has Giles attended you well?
Very well.
And do you like her?
I suppose I do.
Do you know how fond I am of her?
I've given it no thought.
Oh, she's more than a maidservant. She's a friend. I don't think ever I could do without her.
The tea is staying down nicely. I'll have another cup.
Yes.
But I've not a mouthful of food in my stomach.
But you are feeling better.
Still disgustingly weak, but yes, better.
The tea is staying nicely, so I'll send Giles for your broth. I saw to it in the kitchen. Very strengthening. You'll excuse me?
Go along, but don't stay. I want you here.
Oh, I'll be straight back. Not one word, not one about anything. That wretched woman wanted only to annoy us a bit.
Oh, miss.
Oh, and I thought Mr. Rawdon so near. Only his dear music box is near.
Rebecca!
Oh, go, fetch her broth, it's ready. Oh, I could cry my eyes out. Or scratch hers out.
Oh, dear me. I didn't count on that impediment. I did intend Rebecca to go to her Rawdon. Ah, well, as so often occurs, I am resigned to it. My characters have their own way with me. I am only the slave who holds the pen. Your slave will be back.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
Joni, I haven't tapped dust in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shuffle kick.
5 minutes, Klaus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Miss Crawley has taken her broth. The broth, so far, is tolerated. As she supped, she has been oddly silent. Rebecca as well. That's very perplexing.
There, finished.
I'll take the tray.
Becky, is it my illness that dampens our spirits, or are you not feeling fit as well?
Oh, I feel well enough, but my spirits are low.
Let us have something to cheer us, then. Wind the music box, it's run down.
Its music won't lift my spirits, only make me sad.
Sad? Why would it do that?
Makes me long to see my Gordy.
Rebecca, I do not understand you. You mope over this gaudy fellow, make tearful speeches about longing to see him, and 'tis all pretense.
What?
With more of your sly play acting. Does he even exist?
No, Miss Crawley.
There is something afoot. I mean to get to the bottom of it and at once. Look at me and speak the truth. Did you make him up?
Make him up?
Something to do with Rawdon, is that it, miss?
Well, how could you think such a thing?
Well, how am I to think other?
But he sent me the music box.
The box, I don't understand. Yet perhaps I do. Did you have a friend send it to fool me?
No, Miss Crawley.
You persist in saying there is a Gordy?
Yes.
Whom you adore with all your heart?
Yes.
Then will you tell me, pray, why you do not want to go to London with me so you can see him?
What?
Oh, don't pretend you know nothing of my departure, taking you with me. I'm certain Pitt went running to you. Did he not?
Oh, yes, he did. But, dear, Miss Crawley, when you said nothing, I thought you were only jesting with him, and my heart broke into pieces.
Oh, there's a thing. When you said nothing, I thought you did not want to go. You do?
Oh, I do. I do. I want it more than all the world.
Oh, my dear child. What a comedy of errors.
Oh, heaven be thanked.
And in heaven's name, Pack, Rebecca, I mean to leave this dreary place as soon as possible. Once my mind is set, I brook no delay. Pack, my dear. And then, no. Call to Giles. Oh. She will pack my things, you yours.
Yes, Giles?
Well, I'm certain she can't hear that. Mm. Well, why do you stand there? So excited a moment ago, now cast down again. Pray, what is it this time?
Miss Crawley, I am most grateful for your kindness to this poor orphan, but I cannot. I will not go to London without Giles.
Will not?
No.
Indeed.
Impediments. Miss Crawley does not like and will not submit to orders, especially from a governess. Tomorrow we shall see, and tomorrow as now, I am your obliged servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Hello, dear.
How's my girl?
Oh.
Hey, I saw a car on the drive. Who's here?
Oh, I've got nothing, John. Aunt Maggie's cousin heard she was here, so this Edna and her husband Howard phoned right after you left this morning and said they were driving down from Vermont to see Aunt Maggie.
Have they been here all day?
Oh, got here about noon. We had lunch. Oh. And then Edna and Aunt Maggie are still talking a mile a minute. So I asked them for dinner to spend the night. I made a meatloaf. It's almost done.
Oh, fine. Well, that's nice for Aunt Maggie, huh?
Yes, she is so excited. They haven't seen each other since they were in their teens, I guess, or even before.
In 50 years, I guess you have a lot to catch up on.
Well, I think Aunt Maggie's older than Edna, but the whole afternoon has been spent talking about relatives. Edna brought a lot of pictures with her. Well, come on in and meet them. You'll see what I mean.
What's their last name?
Oh, Shelstrup, something like that. Doesn't the dining room table look nice? I used the good dishes and this good silver.
Oh, very nice.
Come on in, come on in, come on in and meet them, because they're really very, very nice.
Yes, but that was before she married Uncle Bert. Then they had four lovely children.
That's right, that's right. Well, I was talking about Clara, who was a Beasley before she married Harold Spencer.
Excuse me, Edna. Howard, you haven't met Bob, dear. This is Aunt Maggie's cousin Edna and her husband Howard.
Hello. Nice. I'm glad to see you. How are you two related?
Edna's mother's mother was a half-sister.
No, Maggie. My mother was a half-sister to your mother.
But your mother's mother was also a half-sister to...
That was in the Hanson side of the
family. Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. Anyhow, Edna and I... Well, if our mothers were half-sisters, I guess that makes us really sort of half-cousins.
I never heard of half-cousins, Aunt Maggie.
Well, I don't think it matters.
Well, Maggie and I had the same grandfather. That was Frank, and he married Lydia and had six children.
That's right. That's... Actually, they had seven. I think one died in infancy. But Frank and Lydia, my grandparents, had three boys and four girls, and my mother was Elizabeth.
Then when Maggie's grandmother Lydia died, grandfather married again, and that was my grandmother, and they had eight children.
Oh, boy, your grandfather was quite a guy. 14 children?
Well, 15, if you count the one that died.
Yeah, well, anyhow, right. My grandmother was Helen, and my mother was one of the five girls. Her name was Ruth. Now, she was the third, I thought
your mother was the oldest.
No. There was Mabel, Catherine, then my mother, and then Opal, and then Lorraine. Mm-hmm. And the three boys were Floyd, Peter, and Carl. Those were my uncles.
Oh, yes. Well, that's certainly very interesting.
Dinner's just about ready if anybody wants to wash up.
Just had the best time this afternoon.
Yeah, I can see that.
Then when my grandfather died, Mabel was the oldest, and she kept house. Kept house for the rest of us until they grew up. Now, Floyd married a Newkirk girl, and they moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Well, that's very
Carl went to Montana, and Uncle Peter went to Hawaii.
That's right. He was an artist. Didn't he used to send back pineapples with pictures painted on them?
How do you paint a picture on a pineapple, Aunt
Maggie? No, not a pineapple, Maggie. A coconut.
Oh, yes. Of course.
I don't think you saw the pictures of my Aunt Lorraine and her family.
No.
You were out in the kitchen.
Oh, that, yes. Well, maybe not. Now, Lorraine was the one who went to Omaha, and her husband was killed by a train.
No, that was Catherine.
Oh, Catherine.
My Aunt Catherine.
I see.
Here, come here. Sit in the sofa beside me.
Well, dinner is just about ready.
Lorraine. Uh-huh. Sit down, dear. Lorraine had four children.
Four children.
They were my third.
Well, Howard, so you drove down from Vermont today, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you had a nice day for a drive. Nice and sunny.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Take you very long?
No.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I guess you get a lot more snow up there than we do here, huh?
Yeah, well, Edna and I won't get any snow at all this winter. Not going back home, you see. Here we're going on to Arizona. Spend the winter down there with our married daughter.
Oh, lucky you. It's a nice state, Arizona.
Yep.
Mabel's grandson.
No.
How long will you and Edna be down in Arizona, huh?
About April, I guess.
Well, I guess Arizona's getting pretty popular. Seems to be the place to go in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah, well, a lot of folks live there all year round, too. My daughter says Dick Van Dyke lives there, and Hugh Downs. My daughter says she hasn't seen them. Somebody she knows saw this Van Dyke fella, and the next-door neighbor stopped at a stoplight right next to Hugh Downs one time.
Wow, that sounds pretty exciting.
Who did you say, Howard?
Hugh Downs.
No, we're not related to Hugh Downs.
No, Edna, he didn't say that.
We're talking about Hugh Downs, Aunt Maggie. He used to be on the Today Show, remember that?
Oh, my goodness. Hugh Downs married one of your sister's girls?
No, Aunt Maggie.
That's not quite...
Well, I am sure I don't know what you're all talking about. I didn't know Hugh Downs married into our family.
No, he didn't, Aunt Maggie. He has nothing to do with any of us.
I mean, Bernice's oldest girl married a Hugh Foley. I don't know where Howard got that idea.
Well, Howard and I were just talking.
Look, let's have dinner, shall we? I mean, please, everything is ready.
I think I'll run upstairs for a minute.
Oh, all right. Edna, it's at the end of the hall. Howard, there's a powder room right in the hall down here. Last door. Aunt Maggie, you want to help me get dinner on?
Yes, of course.
Fine.
I'll mash the potatoes.
All right.
Boy, has it been like this all afternoon?
All afternoon, yes.
And you know something? Edna hasn't said one word about the mahogany bedroom set that I should have had. And the black walnut washstand.
Aunt Maggie, now don't bring it up tonight.
Well, we'll see.
Anybody want more coffee, Edna?
No, thanks. One's plenty. Anyhow, when Grandfather's oldest brother died, Grandfather went back to Norway.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yes, I did, too.
We need more coffee, Howard.
Yes, thanks.
You've had one cup, Howard. Now, that's enough. He won't sleep tonight. Anyhow, Grandfather took his oldest daughter with him. Now, that'd be Mabel. Catherine. And no, he also wanted to visit Sweden because... Oh, Grandmother's mother was Swedish. I forget
what
it was.
No, that's not right, Edna. Grandfather was all Norwegian, I remember. He used to joke about the Swedes. 10,000 Swedes ran through the weeds chased by one Norwegian.
Oh, I haven't heard that one for years.
I don't think that's funny. I think it's a very prejudiced remark to make, and I don't like prejudice.
Oh, Edna, for heaven's sakes, it's only a joke. You never did have a sense of humor.
And I think it's time, Edna, we stopped talking about all your relatives. Oh, it's all we've done since we got here.
I was sticking up for you, Howard. Howard is Swedish.
Well, it didn't bother me. We Swedes used to say, just take a bite out of a Norwegian and you'll find a Swede.
Yes, well, goodness, it's... I mean, well, Howard, we've enjoyed hearing Edna talk about the family. I mean, I don't see how you remember them all, Edna, and keep everybody straight the way
I've
you
do. I've always had an excellent memory, even if I don't have much of a sense of humor.
I don't think your memory's quite as good as you think, Edna. Dear. Not once have you mentioned the mahogany bedroom set that was supposed to come to me, and the black walnut washstand?
Aunt Maggie.
No, I intend to bring it up. Those things were promised to me, Edna, when Grandfather died.
I don't know anything about it at all.
Well, your mother did. I wrote to her several times.
Why don't we go into the living room?
And Grandmother wrote back and said she had given them to you.
A mother never said a word about it. Never.
Well, that's very funny, because Ruth told Aunt Frances that your mother just helped herself to whatever she wanted the day before the funeral. Grandfather's funeral. And Ruth said she took all the good things.
Howard, get our coat.
Oh, Edna, Howard, for good... And Maggie.
Oh, for really? Pete's sake, you two are having such a nice reunion.
Yes, don't spoil it now, for
Howard,
goodness.
We are leaving.
No, Edna, I'm not leaving. I'm tired, and I'm not driving anywhere tonight. We've been invited to stay, and I'm staying. In fact, Bob, if you don't mind, I'd sort of like to turn on that hockey game.
Oh, hey, you bet. Well, come on, Howard. I was afraid I was going to miss it tonight. Now, come on, let's get it on.
Well, I will do the dishes, and I suggest that you two kiss and make up. Aunt Maggie, now. Edna, come on.
Well, my mother did not tell me about the mahogany bedroom set or anybody else's. In fact, I don't like the heavy old bedstead. I can't even move the chest of drawers. So you certainly can have it, Maggie. I think my daughter Nancy has the black walnut washstand, but I'll get that back from her.
Well,
why, it would cost you an arm and a leg to have all that shipped to Montana, Aunt Maggie.
I know. Well. I've just been mad about it for so many years. Now I don't really have any place for all that stuff anyhow.
Well, it's yours if you want it. Now, come on, let's help Pig with the dishes.
No, really. I mean, I'd rather do them myself.
No, really.
You two go on. Aunt Maggie, Edna, really, please.
No, come on, Edna. I'll wash. Oh, Edna, whatever happened to Carrie Bemis?
Oh, Carrie Bemis, yes. Well, now she married a Fosdick.
Oh, dear families.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden and Margaret Hamilton as Aunt Maggie was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville, produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. I'm Charles Woods. to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Coming, Em?
Oh, very well. You know, I hate to say it, Angela, but with Jason and Brixton these last 2 weeks, I've been able to get a lot of research done.
You know, I've often wondered what made you decide on child psychology.
Oh, that's easy. With 3 children, I have my own personal testing lab.
Oh, any word from Bobby?
Yes, a card. He wants me to send him a sheepskin coat.
Oh, seems Harvard is colder than he thought it would be.
He'll be home soon for Thanksgiving, won't he?
Mm-hmm. Next week.
And when does Jason get back from Brixton?
Oh, very soon. You know, I think I'll call him now. He should be at the Anthony's now. You know, I'd like to send something to the Anthony's as a thank you for having Jason stay with them.
Well, considering all that Jason has done to help out, maybe they think they should send you something? Paul, this is Emily Carter.
Oh, hello, Emily. Hey, you're in luck. Jason just walked in.
Oh, good. How's everything going?
Well, Brixton's getting it all together. A lot of things are almost back to normal. Wait, here's Jason. Hi, honey.
Oh, hello, darling. How are you?
Well, I'm a little tired and missing you a lot.
That's nice to hear. How much longer?
Well, I'll be back tomorrow. Almost all the cases have been flown out. I'll be coming in with some special cases we're going to treat at Jefferson.
Oh, Jason, I can hardly wait, but I will. Susie and Jennifer have missed you a heap.
Well, darling, you've no idea how many times I've thought about you all and how lucky we are when I see what's happened here.
I know. I've thought that, too.
Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, how have you been feeling, darling?
Oh, just fine. Outside of a galloping case of loneliness.
Well, I'll take care of that when I see you.
All right, darling. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, Em.
How about a drink?
Yeah, if you can bring it to me.
Well, we also serve who only makes drinks.
You know, Paul, this is about the first chance we've had to really talk.
We have been busy, boy.
Yeah. Hey, Korea was awful, wasn't it?
The worst.
Cold.
Miserable.
Dangerous.
The life and limb in your rear end.
But wasn't it great, too?
The best.
The best and the worst.
You don't get one without the other. I found out.
Listen, why didn't you write me that you and Helen had gotten married?
I always thought we had.
Well, if I'd known, I might have flown back for the wedding.
I always thought maybe you didn't answer because of, you and Helen.
Hey, now, you two were my best friends.
Things changed after you left.
Oh, what do you mean?
When you were there, I always thought that it was you and Helen.
Well, it almost was, for a while.
What happened?
Oh, I don't know, Paul. I think it was the war and being scared and thinking I might die and needing someone to hold on to in those cold, black nights.
Nothing more than that?
Yes. You knew that, didn't you? Helen was really the first girl I'd ever felt close to.
Yeah.
That was 20 years ago, old buddy. You know, when I saw the two of you together last week when I got here, I was so damn happy for both of you. Well,
it was something, wasn't it?
Yep. And I was so damn mad at you for not letting me know about it all this time.
You realize we wouldn't have met again if we hadn't had those damn tank cars blow up in the middle of town?
Yeah. Kind of like the war, isn't it, with all that pain and misery? And yet something comes out of it.
You know, I almost didn't call you.
Oh, why?
I didn't know if you'd come. Or that, well, I didn't know how you might feel about Helen and me.
Hey, you're a nut. Why wouldn't I be happy for you? Listen, you never did tell me how you knew where to find me.
It was just one of those funny things. Your name was in a pile of medical journals I've been going through just the week before.
You know, I knew they had to be good for something.
Hey, you two layabout. I thought dinner would be on the table.
Hi, honey. Will you settle for a large dry martini?
Mm. Hi, Jason.
Hi.
Well, I guess I'll have to.
You could do worse.
Well, how was your day?
You mean his or mine?
No, both.
Well, I put in a pretty full day. I don't know about that character you're married to.
I think we're all magnificent. Here's your just reward, honey.
Oh, thanks. Now, if we'd only had stuff like that over in Korea.
You know, Paul and I were just talking about that garden spot.
Oh, what memories you have. Now, that was 20 years ago.
See, listen, this is Jason's last night here, so we have to celebrate.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I'm going back with those five kids we're going to take in at Jefferson.
And what's left of this bottle of gin isn't going to see us through the night.
Well, maybe the Hollisters.
Right, I'll go see. They're gin drinkers, so maybe we'll be lucky.
Do you really have to go back, Jason? You know, we still need you here.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
I don't know how we could have managed without you, Jason.
Well, Helen, you and Paul have a great bunch of people in your clinic.
But we weren't equipped to handle what happened to the whole town.
Well, I'm glad you thought of me.
I am, too. It's been an awfully long time.
Yeah. Listen, when this is under control, you and Paul will have to come up to the big city and we'll really celebrate, huh?
It won't be the same.
What do you mean?
Well, this was like a flashback in a movie. The three of us. Now the flashback is over. Jason, why didn't you write?
Oh, I don't know. It seemed so far away from Korea, and maybe I felt guilty that I was leaving you and Paul and all the others to finish up.
I see.
Well, it was a special time, I guess, for all of us.
You got married soon after you got back, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Within a year.
A nice, fast adjustment. You were lucky.
Yes, I know. Emily is, well, you'll see when you meet her.
You said she hadn't been well.
Yes, she's had these bad headaches.
Oh? Do you know what's causing them?
Mm-mm. No, not yet. And that's one reason I'm anxious to get back. We've got to schedule a consultation with Victor Szabo.
The neurosurgeon?
Yeah. He's due back from London this week.
Oh. We'll have some more burn cases going to Chicago next week.
Yes, and that's the last of them.
I think I'll schedule myself for escort. They'll need someone, and we can't spare anyone else.
Well, fine. You can meet Emily, then.
Yes. I could, couldn't I?
Well, I guess I'll pack my bag again.
Oh, Angela, you don't have to rush off.
You can't want me here when Jason gets back.
Oh, you're such a part of this family.
Darling, I'm your sister. I doubt if Jason expected to get so much of the family when he married you.
Well, whoever knows what a marriage is until you're in it. And even then.
Are you trying to tell me something?
Only that it's full of surprises.
That's hardly news.
I've never really understood why you haven't married.
Why does it bother you?
Well, I sort of feel that I've failed you.
Oh, Emily, what are you talking about? I'm 3 years older than you are.
I know that, but somehow I feel older.
Because you're married, that's why. You know, there's this marvelous superiority of the married woman.
Oh, darling, have I been that way?
Well, just a little. Sort of like being a member of a secret society, a kind of an inness.
Haven't you ever thought of taking the plunge?
Emily, we all have our secrets. I don't. Well, then, we have nothing to trade.
Jason knows everything about me.
And I know all about him. Why, Emily, that sounds almost too perfect.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great, long-lasting hold. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.